coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, lot to get to, and welcome to everyone in our Twitch channel. You can watch us, you can listen to us, you can interact with us and our listeners. Great new experience. It's twitch.tv, or download the Twitch app and follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. It's all brought to you by Blue Moon Light Sky. Make it a once-in-a-blue moon derby. Waddle's got some in the First Midwest Bank studio. And we're all things baseball and football today.
That's just going to be an empty box by the end of the week, I think.
You're
I think it'll
the
sit
job.
There, but you can easily access a can or two whenever you'd like. So.
Okay, there you go. So plenty of supply inside the First Midwest Bank studio. Yep. People can watch Waddle drink on the job. He may take off his shirt. He may do something you've never seen before on a radio show.
That's true. I would keep watching.
Rick Hahn met the media today virtually, as they've been doing these days, and he said there were some bigger deals out there. They were discussing some smaller deals. They chose basically to stick with what they had, and according to Scott Merkin, Hahn did not address any specific rumor. He said, though, they still view Michael Kopech as the premium piece, a premium piece, I should say, on a very good team for many years to come.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Listen, I get it. I'm sure there's questions, but I wouldn't be willing to turn and move away from him right now. I just wouldn't. Would you?
No, not for what was out there that could have helped you. Like, again, could you have made a deal with Cleveland? That's a big deal. How many guys did the Padres give up for Clevinger?
A bunch.
It was a bunch. I think you are so good right now. And with Cease looking better and better, I got some numbers on Cease I'll throw your way. Dane Dunning, by the way, Rick Hahn said, has staked his claim now to the rotation. So right now, you've got the two guys who you can count on, Giolito and Keuchel. And then you follow them up with Cease, who's up and coming, and Dane Dunning, who is finally back and has been very promising with the strikeout numbers here early. So why not? And then, yeah, do you get Rodon back? Is it Lopez? You know, how big is the fifth starter anyway in their short here kick? And he never really pitches in the postseason anyway.
I mean, how good would a Giolito continues to take steps in the right direction. It was fantastic last year, obviously. Keuchel's a very stable presence in your rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Cease continues to improve. Dunning continues to improve. Kopech comes back and is what you had hoped he would be. You're riding pretty high right there, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't want to screw it up just for this year when anything could happen, including baseball getting shut down. Cease's last six games started, I saw being tweeted out, I believe it was NBC Sports Chicago. 33 2/3 innings, 24 hits, 8 runs, 6 homers, 8 walks, 26 strikeouts, a 4-1 record, 2.14 earned run average. Not bad.
Yeah, he's growing into the job. There's no question about it.
You know, get the walks down. That's one of the keys. He's still young. He's still inexperienced, but a 2.14 earned run average here lately. Pretty
the
good.
Stuff has never been questioned.
Never.
Ever.
Ever since Sut told us when he was in the Cubs organization. Cubs made 4 moves here in the last 30-plus hours.
Abdallah's very excited about the 4. I guess it's 5, right? There's actually been 5 additions.
What was the 5th?
Wasn't it somebody that was added yesterday? Who am I thinking about?
No, that was Martinez yesterday, right?
I thought there was somebody else. Okay, never mind.
No, I don't know. I mean, you could be right, Waddle. I'm trying. So they get Maben from the Tigers today. They get Josh Osich, a lefty reliever from Boston.
They signed a minor league, A.J. Ramos, to a minor league contract.
Okay. Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. Okay.
Andrew Chafin, a lefty from the Diamondbacks, who's currently on the injured list. So those are the four guys. They're tweaking. Jesse wants to argue with me. I don't know why.
Whoa, why?
Is that what you said, Abdallah? Do I have that right?
I will read you the text message from Intrepid reporter Jesse Rogers. Let's go. Got to argue with Sylvie.
Okay, can't wait. I don't.
Well, he had
I
a couple keep exclamation it, points.
I don't even like, know
let's
what it's
go!
About.
What does he want to argue with Sylvie about?
I'd rather it be a surprise.
Okay.
I think that they were arguing a little bit on Twitter because Sylvie thinks that, what's his name?
The Maven is better than
Elmora. Yeah.
I'd buy that.
All Elmora is right now is a late inning defensive replacement. He turned into a 25th man in the roster who you have no faith in ever giving in at bat.
He's been that guy for a while.
Right. And to boot, he is slow as you know what. Like, everyone thinks he's fast, he's slow. He's a good defensive outfielder. Other than that, he gets worse and worse every year at the dish.
In 339 at-bats last year, he had a .236 average with an on-base percentage of .271.
What's he batting this year?
.167.
And it's tough because he's not getting a lot of at-bats, but I wouldn't give him any at-bats.
No, I wouldn't either.
I'm not trying to get him out of it, especially the way Hayward and Happ have been playing. You don't put him in there.
No.
So before we get to football, I asked Cubs fans, are you happy with your team's trades before the MLB trade deadline? It is split 2/3 saying yes, 1/3 saying no. It's exactly a 66.6% saying yes, 33.4% saying no. Sox fans, are you happy your team's decision at the MLB deadline? Their decision was to stick with their team. And so far, it's 57.2% yes, 42.8% say no. You know, people want to see change. They want to see going for it. But I am in trusting of Rick Hahn right now.
You wanted a James Shields deal? Is that what they're – James Shields deal?
Right. You want to give up a ton for Lance Lynn? Yeah.
I mean, Black's looking at me like now with bitter beer face. He's like, no, thanks.
No, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Let's see how far they go.
Yeah.
Hey, remember, the next 3 days are really going to change my emotions one way or the other, right? If they go to Minneapolis and they get swept by the Twins in these next three games.
You're going to be mad they didn't make a deal?
No. I'm just going to temper down the expectations. They're not ready for the big time. They're good enough to beat up on bad teams like the Pirates and the Royals, which they'll have at the rest of this week after the Twins series, but they're not ready. Now, if they go up there and they sweep the Twins, this team could probably win the World Series.
I would just caution you, Chris. I did my Cubs rant in 15 after the Cardinals walked off the Cubs.
Yeah.
And all the Cardinal fans were tweeting at me, Sylvie, you're always going to be the Cubs. Even though you're an up-and-coming team, you'll always be the Cubs. And sometimes series in July and August aren't indicative as to what could happen in October. So, yeah, I think it's a good litmus test, but I wouldn't.
You're making the postseason. August, though. Different August, different start of September.
No, I know that, but I still think even if you lose 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 3, you could still bounce back and have a good postseason.
I would think so.
Yeah, I'm sure. There's a lot of times.
You're going to get the Twins for 4 later in the month.
Yep.
At home.
You're making the postseason.
What, second to last stand, right?
Monday, September 14th through Thursday, September 17th, you get 4 at home with the Twins.
Tom in Glendale Heights, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, guys, I just want to start by saying Sylvie Strong, we love you, man.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate you.
So, guys, as a White Sox fan, I am fine with them doing nothing. In all honesty, if the White Sox had traded Andrew Vaughn, I would be going insane because he is going to be awesome. Now, I understand that the White Sox have a lot of DH guys. Keep in mind, though, Edwin Encarnacion, he won't be here next year. The White Sox have a team option with no buyout, so he won't be here next year. I also don't really worry. I understand the concern a lot of White Sox fans have, that why did we give Jose Abreu a 3-year contract? That's a long-term play. And what I mean by that is that's a thank you and a keep in mind when you retire. Because as soon as Jose Abreu retires, he and Marco Patti, who is the White Sox top international scout, will be working together to scout international players. That's a done deal. As soon as he retires, he's coming back to the White Sox, and him and Marco Patti are working together. The biggest concerns I have is what do we do with James McCann? You know, obviously we're not trading him because you would never do that this year, but are they going to re-sign him? Because that's where all of a sudden you get too many DHs, because then you have Grandal DHing and you have Andrew Vaughn playing first base. What do you do with Jose Abreu? The biggest concern is what do we do with James McCann?
Right, and if the price gets too high, that's too much for a personal catcher for Giolito. But if the price isn't high, you keep him. What's that?
He's a good player, though, too, you know?
Really good.
And the thing is, too, I like Grandal a lot. I love the signing because he can play first base, he can DH, but that's the problem. You know, is he going to be, is McCann, because McCann's going to want to play all the time, and rightfully so. He's probably earned that. So I want to keep James McCann, but I just kind of worry about then all of a sudden maybe we do have too many DHs because Andrew Vaughn isn't going anywhere. He is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I know. And at the very least, you want Andrew Vaughn, if you do trade him, to be in like this monumental deal that puts you over the top.
Right. And by the way, Moncada's not in the lineup tonight.
Is it just another day off?
Has he been dealing with a sore hamstring? Isn't that what his issue has been?
That he's never quite been right all year?
Yeah, so I believe he's getting the night off.
What does their lineup look like? Well, you got it. Then we'll get to the Fournette stuff next.
Do you have it, Chris? I had it, and then it left. You know I can't handle my phone. I mean, me handling a phone is like
I don't know, Mitch
taking a snap from center. Aloy left. Abreu first. Encarnacion, the DH. McCann catching. Robert, center field. Mendick at third. Engel in right field. Madrigal at second. Giolito on the mound. Take that, Twins.
I was texting to the group, too, yesterday. You know, Madrigal, like a lot of people say, well, what is Madrigal going to be? And he's just a slap hitter. Don't you think, though, that there's a place for a guy like that, especially on this team? He went 3-for-4 yesterday, stole a base late. Like, I think Madrigal, even if, like, Meller has said, well, he's David Eckstein. And I think Carm's panned him a little bit, too. But in an era where all it is strikeout, walk, homer, isn't it good for a guy who could put the ball in play at any time?
Yeah, I would think so. Gives you a little variety there.
Yes.
Variety is the spice of life.
I agree. I think it's a perfect changeup in that lineup. And he may be great. Who knows? He may hit over 300 like he's done in college. He's off to a good start this year.
Don't the White Sox lead the majors in average right now?
Yes.
They did. Yes. Yes. I was going to say they did.
So I'm with you, Sylvie. Add to it.
Add to it. And again, like we see with the Cubs, all this all or nothing stuff. Sometimes when the bases are loaded, you need a guy to put the ball in play instead of striking out again and adding on.
They currently have a 270 team average, 1 point ahead of the Washington Nationals, who are hitting collectively 269.
All right.
Nice.
Has Leonard Fournette become available at the perfect time for the Bears? Waddle will weigh in on that coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right. Sam Adams celebrating the return of sports to Chicago. And every day we're highlighting one of the best sports bars in the Chicagoland area. Today we salute Time Out Sports Pub and Grill. Text Sam Adams to 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams summer cooler. Text now and stop into Time Out Sports Pub and Grill today.
We've been to Time Out, haven't we?
I believe we have.
Yeah.
We've been to so many different places, all of them fantastic.
Right.
But I do believe that we have been there.
All right. So we've talked a lot of baseball. If you have thoughts, 312-332-3776. Jesse will join us at 5.
By the way, we have two first-place baseball teams currently, right?
Yes, and the Twins and the White Sox play. The Cubs are off. They'll be in Pittsburgh tomorrow to finish off that road trip. Jason Hayward, by the way, told us that he will join us on Wednesday.
Nice.
So, boy, is he mashing. Yeah. The Cubs were the first team in baseball history to have all three starting outfielders hit two home runs in the same game.
Dinger, 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 dinger.
Yes.
Six dingers.
Wow.
Were you getting
any dingers?
Did you have any dinger dollars coming
way? No dinger dollars.
Really?
This is like funny money, isn't it? Dinger dollars.
Dinger dollars. Hashtag dinger dollars. We've got dinger dollars on the line tonight. Dal and I have Robert and Encarnacion to hit home runs. I had Moncada also, but I believe he's, as I told you, he's not in the lineup tonight. So
did you cancel your bat? What did you do?
I can barely dial a number on my phone, much less go in and cancel a bet.
If he doesn't play, you'll get a refund. If he pinch hits or something, then you're...
I also bet the Miami Heat to win tonight.
Ooh.
I bet the Heat +5.5, and I bet the Heat to win the series.
We're big Heat fans this series. Big Heat fans.
All of a sudden, you're jumping on the Jimmy Butler bandwagon.
I'm jumping on the green money bandwagon, my friend.
I had a conversation with one of our friends yesterday, and
he
said to me, "Jimmy's never been happier. They're gonna beat the Bucks." So I went with
it. The Bucks don't have enough. They can't stop Jimmy. They can't stop him.
I love Nick. What a great guy.
Oh, well, who said it was Nick?
I just said a friend. I mean, we just said a friend. No one named any names.
I've been texting with Nick about the Heat too. He's Heat Central these days, isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't it called the Heat Index, or did we, as a company, get away from that?
I don't know, but the more I talk about it, the more I'm afraid I'm probably going to throw a no-hitter tonight and in this
You're
series.
Hot. Ride the hot hand. Remember, like, last year you couldn't win a bet? Now it's changed.
Well, I need some dinger dollars for sure. So if Robert could hit a dinger tonight, that would be good. 7-1 odds. We got 7-1 odds.
7-1 odds
on Robert to hit a dinger against a lefty. Rich Hill's on the mound. He's 40.
Yep.
He's 40.
He's 40. He's got that curveball still.
Well, that curveball flies out of the park pretty fast.
It can hang. So here's the question, Waddle. Boy, David Montgomery goes down. Groin injury. Those things can linger.
Yeah.
Yes, only 2 to 4 weeks, but it could linger. And all of a sudden, here comes a guy who could be available either to claim or then signed to a free agent deal, who has rushed for 1,000 yards in this game 2 out of 3 years. And, oh, by the way, John DeFilippo was the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville. So if he likes him, I mean, if anyone knows him, it's DeFilippo, and Nick Foles was their quarterback. So the Bears should have a good indication on what kind of a guy Fournette is.
Right.
Do you believe they will or should sign him?
First of all, I think they re-signed someone didn't they? Didn't the Bears re-sign a running back today?
Napoleon, right?
Right. Listen, you kick the tires for sure. It comes down, they've got the cash, right? I mean, they've got some spending money right now. I'm not the world's biggest Leonard Fournette fan. I mean, for his career, he averages 4 yards per carry. I think he's a good running back. There's not a ton of wiggle there to me. I mean, Abdallah, you watched him in college quite a bit, didn't you? As he was putting it on Alabama?
No, opposite.
Okay. As a receiver, he had 76 catches last year, but for just 522 yards, it was like 6.9 yards per carry and no touchdowns. I don't think he's the world's greatest receiver. My problem is, I mean, listen, if you're zooming out and you're saying, hey, do we want to spend money on him? He makes you predictable, probably. Whereas David Montgomery in the backfield, run or pass, there's the options are there. I would definitely, consider it for sure.
It wouldn't it be just a 1 year thing?
Yes, this is the last year of his deal. They like the Bears with Mitchell Trubisky. Mitch and Leonard Fournette weren't they in the same draft? Okay,
yes,
so
yes.
Fournette went fourth, Mitch went second.
I believe all four of the, I saw Siciliano tweet something to the point of the top four picks of that draft, all of them have not had their fifth year
pickup.
Yeah, they've all had it decline.
So you don't have any long-term attachment. You're in win-now mode. Look, if this was a team that was projected to go 6-10, I'd say not necessary. Let's find somebody else.
Some are projecting them to go 6-10.
No, I'm not. So you're in win-now mode? I'm definitely thinking about it.
So
I don't know all, like you ask yourself the question, Doug Marrone said that they couldn't get a fifth or sixth round pick for him. There was no market for him.
But do you have that audio, Chris? I mean, it's telling that they didn't want him, and there was some conflict.
By the same token, you look at the Jags and what they have done or failed to do recently, and you don't exactly say, well, I mean, if the Jags couldn't make it work, that's got to be on the player. You know what I'm saying? The organization really hasn't flourished recently.
Yes. No, I absolutely. Here's the question, though. So I heard Meller and Yurko talk, and their theory when Carmen's there and Meller is a buyer of the same thing. You can find running backs that you wouldn't claim them because you don't want to pay them $4 million. But if you have the cap room and you're worried that if you like him and, he could go to L.A. if he's a free agent, people have said, and then you have to bid with other teams. Yes, it would save you money to wait, but it's only a one-year deal. And if you've got the room, what is it preventing you doing?
No, I'm with you.
In the future, worst thing in the world to claim him?
You give him the opportunity to show other teams as he's about to reach his free agent season that he's worth investing in. So he's got to be motivated.
I wouldn't want to pay him $4 million, but otherwise he's a free agent then, and then you got to worry about other teams.
I think Chris has found the Doug Marrone audio.
My question was, you know, can we get any value? And it was we couldn't get any. So fifth, sixth, no, we couldn't get anything.
And Ryan Pace, if Ryan Pace didn't want to give you a draft pick, then maybe the Bears aren't interested to begin with, because he throws those things around.
Yeah, like Tic Tacs.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how long David Montgomery's not injured severely, and you're expecting him back soon. Then, you know, I can see them not going in that direction. If David Montgomery could potentially be out the first four games of the season, like, I don't trust that Ryan Nall, Tariq Cohen, and Cordero Patterson together. I would prefer them find someone like Leonard Fournette for that month of time. But, again, they would have to do the due diligence on him. I don't know. I mean, it's a $4 million.
Well, they have the due diligence. Like I said, if they don't know who Leonard Fournette is after John DeFilippo was their offensive coordinator, like, what due diligence are you doing?
I don't know.
You've got
maybe
a guy in your own building.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, he's dinged up. I don't know. I don't know that you could cut him if he was dinged up. I don't know.
They don't like him. Like,
they may not.
You know, because of all that.
I mean, listen, again, for his career, he averaged 3.9, 3.3, 4.3. He's averaged 4.0 yards per carry in his 3 years in the league. I mean, like, who is the kid from Indiana? Jordan Howard that we had for several years.
That's him, right.
You know, kind of the same thing. Is Jordan Howard still available, or is he signed
to Miami?
He's
in Miami. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Again, if David Montgomery is out 2 to 4 weeks. I don't know. I'm speculating. If you told me that they're concerned he's going to miss potentially the first month of the season, you got the money. I would definitely consider bringing Leonard Fournette in.
312-332-3776.
What's the worst thing that could happen to you?
Nothing. I mean,
right. You're not getting involved in a long-term deal.
No. And then if you are getting involved, it's because you like him. Because you're steering clear if you don't, because you have the intelligence whether or not he would be fit your team with the guy with Foles and DeFilippo.
Look, you're in win now mode, right? And you're going to have to run the football better this year than you did last year. And if you're running back, the guy that you were expecting to get even more of the carries this season than last year, if he's not able to go, well, you got some issues, don't you?
Right. And again, the groin is a tricky muscle. You know, you could be playing, he was dinged up all year. How often do you hear that?
Did you just say you play tricks with your groin?
No, I didn't play tricks with that my groin at all.
Oh, it's tricky. It's tricky. Okay, yeah. It's tricky muscle.
Tricky muscle.
Okay. Yeah, it's a tricky. What were we talking about with Moncada that he's been dealing with all
hamstring.
Year? Hamstring. Look, yeah. Those, whether it's a hamstring, whether it's a groin, and then by the time 16 games are done with and production's down, you say, well, he was never right all year.
Right.
Well, if you've got a fallback, you don't have to worry about rushing a guy back. Or even if he is dinged up, then you've got the other guy. And I get it. If you claim him, it is a high price. But it's 1 year and you've got room. What are you using that money on?
Don't know. I would definitely consider it for sure.
332-3776. The good, the bad, the dirty coming up at Jesse Rogers at 5.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter. The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
The Good, the Bad, the Dirty is brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer. Great friends over there. Crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly. We'll whip around the room with Abdallah and Bleck as well. Something good, something bad, and something dirty from the sports weekend or otherwise. Waddle, what do you have?
It's simple for me. My good is it was Dinger City this weekend. Friday, we were all making cash. They were giving away free money as the White Sox put it on the Kansas City Royals. I think we had a ground all a walk off, didn't we, in that game?
Dong, dong, dong.
We did. Yeah, I mean, we made money on Grandal.
Haven't cheered for the White Sox like that in a long time.
Yeah, and Robert, we cashed three separate checks that day.
We did.
And then on Saturday, we cashed on, who we cashed on? Encarnacion.
Yesterday on Robert.
And for the Northside baseball team as well. What are they called? The Cubs?
Yeah.
They
set a record.
There were dingers everywhere in Great American Ballpark.
I don't know if you know this, but Waddle
Great American
has,
band box.
Waddle has adjusted the market. The odds on all of these guys to hit home runs, significantly lower odds than they were on Friday.
Dingers equal dollars. It's dinger money. Dollars. They're dinger dollars.
I love it.
Especially
awesome.
When you find matchups tonight. Again, you've got a left-handed Rich Hill who's been...
Was he 65 years old?
He's been crafty and good for the last several years of his career. He's 40, but he's a lefty. So dinger dollars are out there to grab tonight.
Okay.
But there's plenty of them for everybody on both sides of town this past weekend.
There you go. That's Waddle's good. My good is, shout out, I got a double good really quick. Shout out to the Bears beat. They surprised me on Saturday. They were watching the really bad scrimmage of quarterbacks. And most of them had Sylvie Strong shirts on. They took a picture. I posted it on Instagram. I retweeted it on Twitter. So shout out to a lot of guys, too, who are competitors, but still all around good guys, and we can all rally around research for cancer. You know, you could still buy yours at Obvious Shirts, and we're closing in on the $50,000 goal that
That's
we've
awesome.
Had for the V Foundation. And I also want to give a good, I told you guys in the pre-show fist fight, I rented The King of Staten Island on demand on
nice.
Comcast. It was good, Waddle. I think you've asked the question. I've been wondering how good it was. This is the Pete Davidson movie.
Right.
And he dedicated it to his dad, too, who was a firefighter. Pete Davidson's in it. Marissa Tomei. Bill Burr, really good in it. It's a Judd Apatow movie. Highly recommend it. My wife and I enjoyed it.
Good.
Check it out, The King of Staten Island. That, my friends, was good. Abdallah, what do you have?
Gentlemen, after coming home on Saturday night, after hitting what felt like 1,000 golf balls up in Mundelein, and there was college football on my television.
Woo!
And it was amazing. There were four league. Listen,
oh,
I know it's bad. I know it's bad football. I get it. It's not the
matter.
Best football in the world. But whatever. There were four lead changes in the second half. It was a great game. That game went down to the wire. It was excellent football.
It was what? Austin Peay and Central Arkansas.
Austin Peay and Central
doesn't
Arkansas.
Matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who was
they had
playing.
Helmets, pads.
Dudes were playing football.
Pink skin.
There were
That's
sad
Scottie
fans
Pippen's
in the stands.
That's alma mater, isn't it?
Sure.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Football.
All right,
football's
what do you have,
back.
Black?
Football's back.
My good, let me give you Jamal Murray last night. 50 Oof. Points for the Nuggets,
Ooh-hoo.
Forcing a game 7 between the Nuggets and the Jazz. Not only that, if you were able to see Jamal Murray after the game, when he was interviewed on the court talking about George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, he started to break down himself. Everything about Jamal Murray and what he's done in the bubble is good.
I haven't seen a guy shoot the ball from three.
It was awesome.
That way. What was it, three straight games he's averaging like 70% from behind the arc?
I mean, he went 9 of 12 from three.
It was unbelievable. And a lot of them
tomorrow
were,
between
yeah.
him
and
Donovan
of them
Mitchell.
Were yeah. tough shots, too. They weren't wide-open looks.
Yeah, so that's my good.
The scoring has been crazy in the bubble. I heard the guys talk about it earlier. The efficiency is way up. Is that because of the big buildings being out and it's easier to shoot in a smaller with no crowd? Is it because defense isn't being played as much in the... I know you just said, Waddle, that it was some of those shots weren't easy. Is it just the shooting has improved so much?
It's a great question. I was wondering the same thing yesterday. Donovan Mitchell was making some crazy threes as well. I think that the field goal percentage, especially from distance, has been ridiculously high the last several weeks.
Well, think about it. The depth perception on the backdrop is different, too,
yeah,
because
right.
the monitor, those big monitors are right behind the basket, where usually in a stadium you have a full arena
yeah.
right.
going
and it's
behind.
Far back, yes. So really good. Yeah, I can't wait for tomorrow. I hope it lives up to it. Waddle, what is your bet?
I don't know if you watched the game. Was it Saturday? When was the when the Reds got puffy chested and acted like children?
That was game two of the doubleheader, the one that the Cubs blew.
That was Friday night, right? Or was it Saturday?
Saturday. That was Saturday.
Yeah, my days get all mixed up.
Sure.
Like, I'm tired.
As much as you are.
Listen. I want to like my baseball team. I really do. But they've underachieved on so many fronts. And that behavior, like, well, it makes Graves try to pass it along
to the Cubs. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is about Reds broadcasters, why they've got to, like, hate the Cubs so much. Do you have this black to play?
Yeah. Here, take a listen.
Take me behind the scenes right now. What's going on right now between these two teams or in the Reds clubhouse, at least?
Well, these two teams don't like each other.
There you go.
And I think a lot of it stems from the other guys on the other team are a little bit entitled. That's my opinion, and I feel like when it doesn't go their way, they have something to say. So then when the Reds or anybody else in baseball fight back or jump back at them, they start crying a little bit more. So unfortunately, that's how it is in my – that's how I see it. And I think a lot of other people see it too. They're not entitled. They think they are. They think that they're America's team, but they're not. They're really not. That's what I think about them.
I don't get it. Like, I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan. I'm not chuckling. I'm disappointed in my team. They've become unlikable to me. I don't know. Are the Cubs a chirpy team? And now that there's no fans in the stands, you can hear them chirping?
Yes. I know a little bit of that. But
I know
cool
they play with a lot of energy, and they play, you know, like Javi has fun. Willie has fun. Rizzo plays with energy, you know.
Sure, yeah.
I mean,
I've always told you since 16, I never again want to be the lovable losers. I want to be the hateable winners.
Yeah.
And if they are a little bit arrogant, and if they come across to other teams as being unlikable, so be it.
Was he throwing at Rizzo? I can't tell.
That was really high.
No,
right,
I know.
At the head. And
I know that David Ross thought it was intentional.
Sure. Then was Alzolay's pitch intentional?
Yeah, I don't know.
It wasn't quite as close, was it?
Well, it was same height, but it was more on the plate. Whereas, who's the pitcher for the Reds? What was it? Whatever his name was.
It's your damn team, man.
Yeah, he threw it high, but he threw it like more over top of it. I'm down. I mean, they're bad. Bad sports, bad behavior. Like, Votto and Winker come out of the dugout. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
They told you guys not to do any of this crap with COVID.
And you
stop. Just all the way around. Bad behavior by the Reds.
And the Cubs still lost that game. My bad is a real quick one. You know how much I love watching Tiger play golf, and I thought Tiger playing golf in Chicago this weekend would be fun. Did he really shoot an 11 over par for the tournament?
Well, there were a couple of guys under par. I mean, Olympia Fields played ridiculously tough.
Like, I could watch Abdallah shoot 11 over par.
You don't want to do that.
I did on Saturday.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Tiger Woods shooting 11 over par in Chicago? It's bad.
Okay.
I love Tiger, but 11 over?
You don't like bad Tiger.
Right. He's got to get his game right. What do you have, Abdallah?
Guys, for mine, I would like to go for have Chris to go to line two. Could we go to line two?
Line two. You're on the air, line two.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. It's Mark in Batavia. I just wanted to let you guys know that if you have been paying attention to the Chicago Tribunes, the Sun-Times, the Athletics that I subscribe to, great publication, the Athletics. I love it. But if you look at the Chicago Tribune, Dan Wieters, what he says is, don't be surprised if Cairo Santos is the week one kicker in Detroit. What is this? I called in to Cap. He ignored me. Jonathan Hood, luckily he would listen to me, but I told you guys, don't let the Bears pull the wool over your eyes. This is what is happening. They're bringing in this kicker. The writers can't see practice anymore. What are we going to be talking about for 2 weeks? Kickers, punts. This is ridiculous. You guys are falling for it. The media's falling for it. I'm wasting all this time reading about kickers when I should be reading about Trubisky's and Foles.
Mark and Batavia,
Thanks, Mark.
And we like listener participation in the good, the bad, the dirty.
Yeah.
I don't think we've mentioned Cairo Santos once today, but DeWaddle, if he's perfect,
then
Pinheiro's unhealthy,
I don't care who it is. Just pick somebody that you have more confidence in than you did last year. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not a kicker guy.
All right. There you go.
I mean, it's just like the choice between, it feels like it's a choice between two bad options, does it? Almost feels like the quarterback competition.
It's bad too, yeah. I mean, it's both are bad. When Adam Johns isn't saying good stuff about Mitchell Trubisky,
you know
we have ourselves a problem.
You know it's bad.
Oh, there's trouble.
There's trouble in the city.
And we still got to get to some of the thoughts on why Nick Foles may not be looking the way everyone thought he would look.
Yes, yes. Well, Chris, what's your bad?
I don't know. I mean, Abdallah just pulled a bit on us, on our own show.
He just did a bit on us.
That's bad. Like, come on. Like, it's incredible.
That's your bad.
Yeah, I mean,
Abdallah's been on us.
Well, I was going to go Marcus Morris, but then Abdallah's like, go to line two, and he's standing right next to me yelling into the phone.
I heard the echo, too.
I don't know what you guys are talking
well,
about.
I'll pick up your slack on my dirty was Marcus Morris's foul on Luka at the end of the first quarter. That was silly. That was dirty.
You want to get to the rest of the dirties coming up next?
Sure.
Let's do that. And then we'll talk about, like, it is really bad how these quarterbacks are practicing. And I don't know what's going on, and now they want to hide it. 332-3776. It's the good, the bad, the dirty. Brought to you by White Claw.
Look for the ComEd lower price sticker of participating retailers near you to save instantly on energy-efficient LED bulbs from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/instantly.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, Waddle, so you had the cheap shot from Morris.
Yeah, that was my dirty.
It's just terrible. Like, I mean, what are you doing?
I don't know. Has he had some issues in that series earlier as well?
He was going after his ankle earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, the Clippers are really good, and you hate when you just see that.
Let's stop the nonsense.
Stop the nonsense is a good thing. It was a really, I don't want to bring the show down, but I mentioned this earlier during Waddle's World. It was a dirty weekend as far as people we lost. John Thompson passed away today.
Yes.
We lost Chadwick Boseman. He was just in Chicago for the All-Star weekend. Did people know that he was as sick as he was?
No.
No, he was cancer? He was diagnosed, 4 years ago and then continued to do several movies throughout his treatment.
Not only several movies, those are like three of the five all-time
grossing
films in the history of film.
And like he put on a bunch of muscle for the Avengers and for Black Panther. Then he lost a bunch of weight for the other roles and he had to put it back on. And it was like, and no one knew.
Yeah.
No one knew. And then to do it with what we're going through in the country. And then he played Jackie Robinson. And to see all the baseball players wearing 42, and then the timing of that and where we are as a country, it just floored me. John Thompson too, the news. He was only 78 years old. 78 is an old. Also, what floored me too, a basketball player that I really appreciated, and I was texting with Carmen, is Cliff Robinson.
Yes,
Cliff Robinson. Yes. Like in the last year or two, had a stroke. And then I think he had lymphoma as well.
From UConn, right? Was it where he went to college?
Yeah.
And then he was a great sixth man for the Trailblazers.
Yeah.
And I said this to Carmen, like, as I was in my Bulls bunker of just focusing on the Bulls in the 90s, because they faced that really good Blazers team in 92, that you didn't realize the way Cliff Robinson played that he was 6'10", 6'11". And, like, he was a modern-day player even back in the 90s. He was really, really, really good. Scotty had a really good tweet about him, and it was just dirty to see all the news about people that you really looked up to, and I thought it was a bad weekend as far as that. So that's my dirty. Boys, what do you have? What's your dirty?
Well, Donovan Mitchell taking out his aggression on a bike doesn't really matter after that. It's a weird segue to get to go to that. But yeah, after the game, Donovan Mitchell took his aggression out on a stationary bike. He like knocked it over, kicked it a few times. You'll get game. What the good outcome of that is, you'll get game 7 of the Nuggets and Jazz tomorrow night, and it's going to be great and epic. And that NBA coverage is brought to you by Kia. Visit Kia.com to see what it means to give it everything. And by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Thanks, Mark.
We got to play some prop bets on that game. You know, with the, I'm sure there's going to be some interesting bets on both Murray and Mitchell.
I made money on both of them last night. Thank you, fellas, for hitting those threes.
And Chris, wrap us up.
Let's go with the Los Angeles Lakers. I think they did Tom Waddle and Chris Plug dirty. We thought that the Trailblazers would give them a series, and really they were just asleep for game one. And then AD in the finale, game five, 43 points, 9 rebounds. He was awesome. So they move on to the next round. We'll see who wins the series between the Thunder and the Rockets. That'll be a good series against the Lakers, another test. But yeah, I think they did us dirty there.
Don't you want the Rockets to win for star power?
I mean, for drama purposes.
And Russell Westbrook looks like he's back healthy. That's going to be a fun series if they win.
Yeah, so I'm rooting for that. And I think it's good that the Clippers and Lakers could still be on this crash course. So the NBA playoffs, tomorrow is one of those games that you're going to go out of your way to watch tomorrow night with Utah and Denver in a game 7. All right, I want to get to a recap of what happened or what may not have happened on the baseball trade deadline. Jesse wants to argue with me, too, some stuff. Cubs made three moves today, 4 in like the last 30-plus hours or so. The White Sox stood pat. Do you like that? And then we've got to get to some of the Matt Nagy sound on keeping things a secret with a quarterback derby. There's so much to do in the 5 o'clock hour. We're coming up in just 2 minutes, brought to you by our friends at Legal Rideshare.